John chapter 4, and we want to read a couple verses here this morning, beginning with verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, do you know the gift of God? And who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you know who it is that gives the gift of God?" The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Last week we were looking at verse 12, and her asking Jesus Christ, the Lord, "Art thou greater than Jacob? Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" The verse before that, she had said, "The well is deep. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Then she asked this question, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" To this, this question she asked, she fully displays, fully manifests that she's blind. Jesus said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And she continues to manifest that she is void of understanding, she is blinded to who Jesus was, she's blinded to the gift of God, and all she can see is that which is physical, all she can see is that which she can see with the physical eye. And the fact that he had no bucket, and the well that is here before us is deep, it is a spiritually deep well. For she has no spirituality. Her spirit is blinded. And all she can see is the things of the world. This well is so deep that she cannot reach deep enough. She cannot do enough. In fact, she's powerless to do anything. She can't reach deep enough by keeping the law. She has no ability to keep the law. Therefore, the best that she can do is sinful, is wicked. Continuing in her blindness, she says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Are you, whoever you are, you Jew that I'm talking to, are you greater than our father Jacob?" Well, continuing to manifest her blindness. Because if she had had the light, if she'd have been able to see, she'd have known that yes, Jesus Christ is greater. Than her father, Jacob, her physical ancestry. Jesus was greater. So yes, the well is deep. And only the grace of God can span the depths of that well of sin and depravity. It's only the grace of God that can reach down far enough to where man is. And reach high enough to provide living water, everlasting life unto that individual. Yes, she didn't know how infinitely superior Christ was, Jesus was, to Jacob. And in this, what she says here in this verse 12, we know last week that she draws out the antiquity of the well. She said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" How long before this had Jacob himself drank of this very well? Of course, we drew from that the spiritual truth of the antiquity of the well that Jesus was talking about. Looked at the book of Job and saw in chapter 12 and in verse 9 through 13 that Jehovah God is ancient. A term that Job used, and a term that is used three times in the book of Daniel to note the eternal God, the eternality of Jehovah. Praise God. He's eternal. Praise God, He's the ever-living one. He had no beginning as you and I, and He has no end. He ever lives. He's the eternal God of heaven. The living water spoken of here speaks of salvation. Jesus is speaking of salvation. He's speaking of eternal life. We noted last week that this salvation, this gospel message of salvation had flowed to Adam, to his wife Eve, to Abel, to Enoch, to Noah, Abram, and all the Old Testament saints. Has the living water, has the water of life, has salvation, has it flowed to you? We note last week and this week as well that God has only one way of salvation. And that's by His Son, Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should. You can't work to obtain salvation. You can't work to obtain a gift. If you work for a gift, then it's not a gift. It is something which is owed to you. It is a debt owed to you. But if it's a gift, there's no merit to it. It is by grace. In closing, last week we said the gospel message is not new. It didn't just come with Jesus Christ. No. The gospel was preached of old. It was preached to Abraham. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, and it was our concluding scripture last week, and we'll use it as our launching passage this week. The book of Galatians in chapter 3. And verse 21. I don't want 21, I want verse 8. What am I thinking of? Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen through faith, bring forgiveness of sins through faith, preached before of old time the gospel unto Abraham. And how was it preached unto Abraham? Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed what was preached to him, that through his seed would come one who would bring salvation to all nations of the earth. And Abraham saw that day and believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. But it was preached not only to Abraham, but it was preached a long time before Abraham. It was preached to Adam and Eve. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 3. Adam and Eve had sinned. They had broken the law of God. They transgressed. They sinned. And the moment they sinned, they died spiritually and began to die physically. And their eyes were opened. And they knew that they were naked. For the first time, they knew lust. They knew sin. And they got themselves fig leaves. In trying to correct the matter, in trying to correct the problem, in trying to hide their nakedness. God dealt with them. And He gives that blessed promise of the seed, a woman in verse 15. Defeat Satan. Defeat death, hell, and the grave. And then He's about to expel Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise. Sin could not dwell there. Corruption could not dwell there. In verse 21, says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The Lord God took two animals and slew them and clothed them with their skins. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being slain and man being dead in sins and trespasses, being naked before God, being clothed. And not the works of man's hand, but being clothed in the work of God, being clothed in the righteousness of God, which is in God's righteousness. It is holy, it is perfect, it is just. And so it stands before Him. Adam and Eve thought they could fix what was wrong with them by the works of their hands. But God said, no, you can't. It can only be corrected by the shedding of blood. And the shedding of blood is the atonement made for the soul. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. In chapter 9, in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. In the Old Testament, almost all things were purged, were cleansed by the shedding of blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission, is no forgiveness, is no remission of sins, is no remitting of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Whose blood? What blood? The blood of an animal? As God did back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 21, when He shed the blood of those animals, both Adam and Eve? No, that was just a picture of what was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 3. And look with me at verse 25. Whom God, that is Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ, to declare His righteousness, the righteousness of God, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. It was through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him, faith in His shed blood. And we have remission of sins. Our sins are remitted. They're forgiven. Removed as far as the east is from the west. They're cast into the depths of the deepest sea. Yes. God clothed Adam and Eve through the death of an innocent substitute. And so must we. We must have a substitute. A perfect substitute. We must have the perfect Lamb of God to intercede on our behalf. We must have faith in that. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely He, that one who was despised and rejected, the one whom we saw no loveliness in, no beauty that we should behold Him, no beauty that we should follow after Him. Why, He's disgusting. We hated Him. Surely He, Jesus Christ, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Surely, notice that. He hath borne our griefs. He carried our griefs. He. Our griefs. Our griefs were put upon Him. He's our substitute. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was killed. He died for our sins, for our transgressions, for our iniquity. He was bruised, beaten for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. That is for all those who have looked upon the exalted Lord Jesus Christ and had faith to believe. And His sacrificial atonement for our sins. Have you looked? Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so was the Son of God, Son of Man, lifted up. That all who should look on Him in faith believing might be cleansed, might be healed. All their sin, of all their transgressions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He, Jesus Christ, hath made Him," or "God hath made Him to be sin for us." God made His Son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin. He, Jesus Christ, knew no sin. He didn't sin when He was here. And don't you, well, probably too late. Don't you, if you have, don't you ever again watch the Passion of Christ. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. Jesus Christ was not a womanizer. He's the perfect Lamb of God. He did that always, that which was right and pleasing to His Heavenly Father, to God. Setting an example for you and I to live by. And we ought to do all to the honor and glory of God, and please Him in all that we do. He who knew no sin, was incapable of sin, was made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not made the righteousness of God. He didn't become sin for you. You must be in Christ. And you're in Christ through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By being a substitute. That's how the rest of the verse reads. By being made a substitute. Being made a curse for us. There's substitution. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." He took my curse, and He suffered my curse, so that I might not have to, so that I might be redeemed in everlasting life through faith in Him. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. What did He do? In His own self. Christ did. Bear our sins, my sins, in His own body on the tree. That I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Because Christ bare my sins in His body on the tree, I now am dead to sins. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, I have a desire after the things of God. I seek to walk in righteousness, true righteousness. What is true righteousness? Look to Jesus Christ. The verses preceding that talk about Him being our example of righteousness. How we ought to live and move and have our being among men. By His stripes, we are healed. This woman of Samaria did not realize that He, Jesus Christ, yes, the greater than Jacob, was there. She did not realize He was greater not only than Jacob, but He was greater than Jacob, He was greater than Isaac, He was greater than Abraham, He's greater than all. Turn with me to the book of John again, back to the book of John in the first chapter. John chapter 1 and verse 15. John bear witness of Him. Who's to Him? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He dwelt with God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ. John bear witness of Him, of Jesus Christ, and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." That phrase there, all that means is He is greater than me. He's greater than all. He existed before me. That's what John the Apostle said in verses 1 and 2. That He is the ever-living God. He was in the beginning with God, and He was God. He is God. He's the ever-living God. Same thing later on in verse 27. He says, "He it is, Jesus Christ, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose." He, John, He's greater than me. I'm not worthy to untie His shoes. I'm not worthy of Him. He ranks higher than I. He ranks higher than all. Verse 30. 30. "This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for He was before me." He's greater than I am. He's greater. And all. He existed before. In fact, He is Creator. Look at verse 3. In the beginning, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Notice verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." If all things were made by Him, that means I was made by Him. That means you were made by Him. That means John the Baptist was made by Him. That means that He is greater than John the Baptist. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Isaac. He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than all. He is our Lord. Now let me just interject this. There's a philosophy out there in the religious world today that believes that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then sometime later you're making one. No, the day of salvation. He is your Lord. He is your Master and Savior. John chapter 3. John continuing. In fact, this is John's last testimony that we have, anyhow, recording God's word for us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." There again, John is showing that he's greater than he was. He must increase. He's going to increase. He must increase. I must decrease. Are you there with John this morning? Jesus must increase. He must increase in my life, and I must decrease. He's greater. Verse 31. "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven," Jesus Christ, "King of heaven and is above all." He's above all. Look with me at the book of Romans in chapter 14 in verse 9. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." He is the Lord of all creation. Both of the dead and the living. Book of Philippians talks about that at the name of Jesus, he'd been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and confess that he is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Jesus, the Word, the Son of God, being made so much better than the angels. Oh, do you see him so much better than the angels? Oh, the world is trying to picture a great feat. Oh, the angels are a great thing. The angels are a wonderful thing. They're trying to break. They paint him, the angels, above Jesus Christ. But that's not so. Jesus Christ was so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than Jesus, the Son of God. That says it all, doesn't it? More excellent name than they. Look with me at the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partake of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Consider him. Think on him. Look to him. "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Christ was faithful in all things, just as Moses was faithful. He was greater than Moses. "For this man," Jesus Christ, not Moses. Jesus Christ. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. How so? Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house, the creator, the builder, hath more honor than the house. And see, if you're a carpenter, you can understand that. People look at a house that a carpenter has built, and my man, this is a wonderful job. Well, and the carpenter's just eating it up because they're praising his workmanship. Christ, the creator, the builder of the nation of Israel, whom Moses led. He was the creator of that house. You see, he's deserving of more honor, more glory than was the house itself. Because he is the creator. Turn with me to the book of John. Book of John in chapter 5. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth alive. That's not talking about physical life, it's talking about spiritual life. Whom he will. Even the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, maketh alive spiritually. Whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. I ask you this morning, in closing, have you honored the Son? Have you honored the Son? He's above all. He's greater than all. Son of God come down from heaven. Why did he come down from heaven? He came down from heaven so that you might have forgiveness of sins. Have you had faith? Have you heard? Have you believed? The next verse, verse 24, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth. You see, it's not enough to hear only. But with the hearing, you must have faith. Faith is always accompanied with repentance. If you've truly heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've truly seen the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've truly honored the Lord Jesus Christ, then you were abased. Why were you abased? Because you saw yourself a sinful, vile, wicked sinner before God. Condemned. And on your road to the lake of fire. But you saw Jesus Christ as the one to deliver you from that condemnation. Do you repent of your sins? Do you have faith in the shed blood, the work of Christ in redemption at the cross? Do you believe that He rose again so that you might have forgiveness of sins? Brother Mark.